أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you may remember, we are talking about the moral principle of justice. So far, we have mentioned many Quranic verses to show that this principle is a vital principle in our day-to-day life. If we are really Muslims, if we adhere to Islamic faith, we must adhere to the principle of justice. We cannot say we are Muslims, but we are indifferent towards the principle of justice. Being a Muslim is related, is in line with being just. You cannot be a Muslim unless you are just. And being a Muslim requires you to be just, to be honest, and to be fair. Now that we are acquainted very well with the importance of the principle of justice, as we promised before, now let us deal with the meaning of the concept of justice. What is really the meaning of this term or word? What do we mean by the word justice? Justice, that is so much important, that is so much significant. What is meant by it? What is the implication of this terminology? As a matter of fact, there are different theories in regard with the meaning of the concept of justice. Different scholars in different schools of thought have presented different theories and different conceptions about the concept of justice. Some scholars say that justice is nothing other than compliance with social norms. Look at your social norms. Look at your society. What is current in your society? What are the dominant norms in your society? Whatever they are, follow them. Whatever they are, put them into practice. If you adhere to your social norms, if you adhere to your social traditions, and if you follow them very carefully, then you are a just person. You are a person who is a follower of the principle of justice. So, of course, society differs from location to location, and from continent to continent. Maybe in Asia, the social norms are something, but in Europe, social norms are different things. The social norms vary from place to place and differ from location to location. Then we must make a very close study of our social norms. We must make a close study of our social traditions. And then we must try to follow them up. And by doing so, we can show that we are just and we are adhering to the principle of justice. So this is one theory. But of course, as I mentioned before also somewhere in my previous lectures, we cannot endorse this school of thought. Islamic morality is not the same as what this school of thought suggests. Islamic morality is emphasizing on certain things as permanent and unchangeable things. Islamic ethics tell us that you cannot cross certain limits, no matter whatever the society tells. Society is important, but society cannot be a match for social principles. When there is a contradiction between the requirements of social norms and the requirements of a moral philosophy or a moral tradition, we must give preference to moral tradition. For example, say or talk about lying. Maybe there might be some societies in which lying is not a bad thing. There might be societies, I'm talking about supposition. Maybe there is no such society. But suppose if there is a society in which lying is advisable, then this principle, this norm, will contradict the principle of truth in ethics. So if there is a contradiction, Islam says that look at the principle of truth and not at the principle that is suggested by your society. So we cannot subscribe to this school of thought. Another theory that is also equally important is the theory that says that justice is not that much admirable as it is usually said to be. Justice, in their point of view, is a tool in the hand of powerful people, in the hand of mighty people. Powerful people want to exploit others. They want to use others in the way they desire. But when they want to do this, they are in need of certain tools and certain means. And without resorting to those mechanisms and to those tools, they cannot achieve their goal and their objective. And one of the tools which they have is the principle of justice. They make use of the principle of justice in order to exploit others. If they want to exploit others, if they do not make use of such kind of beautiful principles, of course people will not accept them. People will not tolerate powerful people. They might revolt. They might resort to uprising. And as a result, they will bring changes in their life. But the powerful and mighty people are aware of the psychology of the people. And therefore, they want to fool people. They want to make them actually follow their commandments by adhering to the principle of justice. They say that whatever we say is just, and to follow the principle of justice is good, and therefore follow our words and follow our directives. And poor people, thinking that following the principle of justice is good, follow the words of the mighty people. And as a result, they say that religion is a tool in the hand of mighty people. Justice is also a tool in the hand of mighty people. mighty people make use of all these means, all these instruments, in order to exploit others, in order to be benefited by the situation that is current. So this is also a school of thought, and this school of thought was existing from time immemorial. You can find the traces of this kind of thought in Greece, and actually centuries ago. But this school of thought is also not a good school of thought. And the theory that is suggested by this school of thought is not acceptable either, because this kind of judgment about the principle of justice is in explicit contradiction with what we understand intuitively. We understand that there is the principle of justice. We understand that there is the principle of fairness. And we agree that this principle is different from what the mighty people and powerful people say. And therefore, we cannot actually say that it is the same as what the mighty people say. And we cannot, because of this, we cannot put aside this kind of principle. Another theory in regard with the principle of justice is that justice is not something abstract. When we want to know about the concept of justice, we must try to look at the contracts people make. Whatever you do, whenever you do it on the basis of contracts. So contracts are very much important. For example, the governments come out of contracts, and the governments are based on contracts. The deals which you make are based on contracts. Without agreement and without contract, no deal can be finalized. So contract is very important. They say that justice is also based on contract. So if there is a contract, and if you act in accordance with the requirement of the contract made, then you will be a just person. But if you cross your limits, and if you do not act in accordance with the requirements of the contract, and if you do not act in accordance with the articles that are there in your contract, then of course you are not a just person. So according to this school of thought, what is important and what matters a lot is contract. And we must focus our attention on contract. If we act in accordance with the contract met, then we will be just. And if we do not do so, then we are unjust. This theory is not also acceptable from the Islamic point of view, because according to this theory, justice does not have anything to do with the external world. Justice is linked to the concepts that are in our mind. It is we who make the justice. It is we who invent justice. Justice is not existing on the ground as a solid fact. So because of this, scholars, Islamic scholars, do not agree with this school of thought, and they reject it squarely. Another theory that is available in regard with the meaning of the concept of justice is the theory of mean that is proposed by Aristotle. According to this theory that is also current in Islamic climate, justice is nothing other than following the theory of mean. Follow the theory of mean, be moderate, follow the theory of moderation, then you are a just person. As long as you adhere to the principle of moderation, then you are a just person. But if you cross the limit of moderation, if you violate this principle, then of course you cannot claim that you are a just person. So this theory is a very dominant theory among some of our thinkers. From among our thinkers, Narraqi is a scholar who is of the view that justice is nothing other than following the principle of moderation. As a matter of fact, Narraqi here follows Aristotle, and he puts his step in the footstep of Aristotle. He follows him very exactly. But to explain this theory in a rather detailed way, we must say that according to them, we have three faculties. Every human being has got three faculties. These three faculties are very much important. We have the faculty of intellect. Every one of us is actually in possession of intellect with varying degrees. And we have the faculty of anger, and we also have the faculty of actually shahwat or sensation. We are actually, in their views, composed of these three faculties. We will be just when we make use of all these faculties in a moderate way. If we use these faculties very moderately, then we will be just. But if we are not able to use these faculties moderately, then we will not be just. But how can we reach the stage of moderation when it comes to adjusting these faculties? According to them, we can reach the stage of moderation in all these three respects. As far as the faculty of anger is concerned, they say that this faculty can have three stages. The two stages are very extreme. One is the minimal stage, the other is the maximal stage. But the middle stage or the moderate stage is the best stage. According to them, if you make use of your anger very profusely, very recklessly, then you will reach the stage of tahawur or recklessness. This is not a good thing, because if you are reckless, you will put your life into danger. Your life will be at risk, because you will do each and everything, and that is not advisable for you, because sooner or late you will put an end to your life. So it is not good to be reckless. Similarly, if you do not make use of this faculty at all, then you will be a coward person. And cowardice is also not good. It is not good either to be coward, not making use of the faculty of anger. So what is the best and what is most advisable is to be brave and to be courageous. To be brave or bravery is the middle stage in between cowardice and recklessness. Both recklessness and cowardice are bad. We must avoid these qualities. And the best quality for us is to be brave. That is the middle path, and that is the middle way in between these two qualities. Similarly, they talk about the faculty of passion. or sensation. They say that this faculty can have three stages. Two of them are very bad, but the middle one is very good, and we must try to manage it in a way to reach the middle position. They say that if you make use of your faculty of this sensation very much, then you will be a voluptuous person, not good. And if you do not make use of it, then you will be reaching the state of celibacy. That is also not good. The best thing is that is called iffat. In iffat, you get married. In iffat, you are actually making friendship with others. And that is the best stage advisable for all. Thank you very much.